Beautiful. Take a seat. How's your day been? Has it been a good day? We had a bunch of the Christian Surfers guys. We had the Surfathon on today. It's a week-long fundraiser raising money for the Surfers Bible to continue to be in production. Their goal for Christian Surfers Australia is to raise 50 grand this week, and I think they've raised about 20 grand today, which is pretty amazing. They're trying to get, how many waves can be surfed in a week? They're trying to get 10,000 waves surfed by Christian Surfers missions right across the country. And I don't know what the count is at the moment, but that's pretty cool, raising money by surfing waves. It's all good. So I wonder which emoji in your phone is in your most frequented list. If you're technologically unadvanced, then an emoji is a little icon that you can use to describe how you're feeling without using words. Like this. We've got a whole page of them. There we go. Like, if you had to describe your day today, what would you choose? In my most regularly used ones, I've got it up here, is the Sharkers. Yeah, sick. You know? The surfing guy, the hand clap, the praying one. But my most frequently used emoji that I would most often use to describe how I'm feeling is the hand on face. Yes, you got some friends here. Yeah, another two. Anyone else got that one? Is your number one? The man, life sucks. Yeah, Bernie. Yes, we've got friends. Kids. We'll do that. But how would you describe your day today? Kids, if you look at those, I used to play this game with Poppy. We'd say, how do you feel today? And she'd just go select them all because she just wanted to play with the phone. But maybe you've come here tonight and you're feeling like, I don't know, the top row, second from the right, the blue face, where you're pretending to be happy, but really you're angry. Maybe you're pretty jovial, like second line, second in. I wonder what you're feeling tonight via emoji. And in the word tonight, I want us to see a few emoji moments in the passage of Scripture. And I think ones that we should have in our most frequently used emojis in our faith journey. Before we dive into the word, though, let's pray. Father, thank you that you have been speaking to us so amazingly through the book of Acts. Father, looking at what it means to be sent, a sent person on your mission and for your purposes. As people who are sent by Jesus, we are sent in the power of the Holy Spirit, and we are sent as your church to bring glory to your name, that all may know and love you. And so, Father, we pray that tonight, again, we would see what it means to be someone who is sent, and that you would speak to us through your good and true and eternal word in Jesus' name. Amen. Very good. Kids, you can keep on colouring. Just do it quietly. Would be amazing. But if you need to talk or whatnot, you can go and see your parents, your big people. And if you do need to use the cry room or outside parents, feel free to do that as well. We won't be too long this morning. Acts chapter 11. Joe took us on a great venture last week through Acts 10 and into chapter 11. And it goes a little bit like this. We've got it on the screen. Now the apostles and the brothers who were throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And if you were here last week, that's what chapter 10 was all about. We saw the crazy business that went down with Peter going to Cornelius's house. If you weren't here, perhaps you know the story, but in Acts 11 here, Luke is recalling Peter's own version of events. And we know that, you know, just to rehash just really quickly, that Peter was in the city of Joppa and he was praying one day, and while he was praying, he received a really bizarro vision from the Lord that was a sheet being let down from heaven, and on it were all kinds of animals. And in the vision, he was instructed to kill and eat the animals, which would have challenged every fiber of his being and of his beliefs. This would have been for him an act that would have made him unclean. All of these animals were unclean, and for him to let alone touch one of these animal or touch these animals, let alone eat one, would have been an abomination to Peter. That far be it from him that he would associate with, let alone eat, one of these unclean animals. And the voice from heaven said to Peter, "Do not call anything unclean that the Lord has made clean." And this happened three times. Now park that story while Peter was praying, getting this vision. The Lord was at work in another guy called Cornelius, who was also had a heavenly vision, and he was instructed to send some of his men to Joppa to go and find this man, Peter, who was praying and who had had this vision and was to bring him to his house. And so Peter, a Jewish man, turned up to Cornelius's house, who was a Gentile man. And without going into the background of it all for time's sake tonight, we know that for a number of reasons, the Jews and the Gentiles did not mix. They were like oil and water. They stayed separated and would not merge. And so here is Peter standing on Cornelius's front doorsteps, feeling out of his depth, feeling like he didn't belong, feeling like he shouldn't have been there, like he was probably doing something wrong. And as he entered the house, he was probably looking over his shoulder, wondering, who's watching me? Am I about to get busted for going into this house? I'm not meant to be here. And then it clicked. This is what the dream was all about. The vision that he had. For all this time, he realized we've been calling people like this unclean. But the Lord doesn't see it that way. He doesn't see them that way. You know, Peter at Cornelius' house was an exercise in learning, as the word says explicitly to us, that God shows no partiality. That all people, regardless of who they are, were granted the gift of repentance that would lead them to life. This was then remarkably evidenced when the Holy Spirit then fell on Cornelius. And all who heard the word, they were baptized in the Spirit, erupting in a heavenly language and in worship together. I mean, this was an incredible moment. And as it turns out, news of this event spread quickly, and it made it back to the Jewish believers, to the church back in Jerusalem. And in verse 3, we see that they raised an eyebrow at Peter, questioning his decisions with piercing judgment in their eyes. "You went to a Gentile's house and you ate with them?" they inquired. I mean, you can feel the level of disgust that they would have been feeling toward Peter, knowing that he had gone and associated with those who were deemed unclean. And this was an open invitation for Peter to explain himself. And as I read this, I get a sense that Peter could barely contain his excitement. I mean, perhaps you've done something or been somewhere or experienced something where you haven't been able to wait to be able to go and tell people about it. And when you do it, the excitement of that thing, it comes out like a projectile vomit. Wah! Let me tell you about this thing. That was probably a bit graphic, sorry. But for Peter, given this chance to explain himself, he says to them excitedly, "Guys, look, I know it's not what it seems like. I was in a city called Joppa and I was praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, and something like a sheet descended and it was being let down from heaven from all of its corners. You wouldn't believe it. You can't make this stuff up. It came down to me, and as I looked at it, I saw animals were on it and beasts and reptiles, and I heard a voice say to me, 'Rise, Peter, kill and eat.' And it made no sense to me.
But the voice told me to not call anything common or unclean that has ever entered my mouth. But the voice answered, what God has made clean, do not call common, he goes on to tell them. And it happened three times, and then this sheet was drawn up into heaven. And at that moment, you wouldn't believe it, but three guys turned up at my house. They were sent to me from Caesarea of all places. And the Spirit told me to go with them, to not make any judgment about these guys, but just to go. And then these six people, they accompanied me, and we went to this man Cornelius's house, and he told us how he had seen an angel stand in his house and say, send to Joppa, bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will declare to you a message by which you have been saved, you and your household. And as I began to speak, I mean, this is like the mic drop moment for Peter. In his excitement, he lands here. As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them, just as on us at the beginning. I mean, there's only one emoji that adequately depicts the reality and the gravity of what Peter had experienced and was describing to the leaders of the church in Jerusalem. And it's this one, the mind blow emoji. Their minds were entirely blown that God would associate himself, not just associate himself, but pour himself out on people who were unlikely and seemingly undeserving, who were technically dirty and all of that kind of thing. Their minds were absolutely blown that they would receive their own Pentecost moment, that the Holy Spirit would be poured out upon these people. And the rest is history. You know, people just like you and I, not born of Jewish descent, have been shown the grace and the mercy of God in his Son Jesus, and we too have been given and granted the gift of repentance that leads to life. And not only that, if that wasn't enough in itself, we too have been counted worthy and chosen to be the dwelling place of God. Earthly, imperfect vessels in which God has chosen to fill with his person and presence for the sake of others knowing and encountering him. I mean, the truth that we have seen all the way through Acts is that the kingdom of God is for everybody. That Jesus is for all people. That the Holy Spirit has no favorites. And in verse 19, Luke goes on to recall the fact that after Stephen was killed for his faith, a couple of chapters earlier we saw, all of the believers fled from Jerusalem and they moved out into the surrounding regions. And while most of them kept the message of Jesus just to their fellow Jewish brothers and sisters, we see that some of them were having a crack at sharing their faith with the Gentiles. And we see in verse 21 that the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. And I am so glad of heart to see that this is still happening, that the grace of the Lord and the hand of the Lord is still upon us, and there are people placing their faith in Jesus and turning to the Lord. And the report, which has come to us today as well, came to those of the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. Barnabas was sent like you and I. Barnabas was sent on mission. He was sent with a purpose. He was sent by Jesus. He was sent in the power of the Spirit. In this case, he was sent to the church. And we see in verse 23 says this, when he came, they were all having a potluck dinner on Saturday night and all got well fed. And when he came, when Barnabas arrived at the church, the family of people, we don't know whether it was, you know, the address or whether it was one church or in a home or there was a gathering of multiple family churches that had gathered. We don't know the makeup right there of the church. But when he came there and met with the believers, he came and he did a few things. He saw the grace of God, he was glad, and he exhorted them, he encouraged them to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. And we learn that Barnabas was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. You know, I want us to stop and consider three things we are to be and do as people sent on God's mission. And these things are seen in Barnabas's observation when he arrived into the family of believers in Antioch. And the first is this: sent people see the grace of God. And the first one with the glasses. Can we get the next emoji? You know, in our faith journey, this is the best I could do, guys. Come with me, all right? Glasses is the metaphor for seeing, because if I take these off, I'm just about blind in these days in these kinds of light. But this is where we're going. Sent people see the grace of God. You know, Barnabas, when he was among the believers in Antioch, he saw the grace of God in their midst. And we don't know explicitly what he saw, but I can imagine that he saw a community reaching out to their neighbors. And he saw the grace upon that. I can only imagine that he saw a church that didn't just exist for themselves, but for seeking justice in their own communities, reaching out to the marginalized and the oppressed, and he saw the grace of God upon that activity. I can only imagine that when Barnabas turned up to the church in Antioch, that he saw the grace of God as they saw them growing in courage and threw off the bits of their past that were limiting and keeping people from knowing Jesus. He saw the grace of God as he, I'm assuming, saw more mature Christians in the faith, nurturing and discipling younger believers. I'm sure he would have seen the grace of God as he saw church leaders organizing the people in an organic way that led to a beautiful community that grew and discipled and developed people who would go on in the gifts that God had called them to. That he would have seen the word being preached faithfully. You know, against all of this, a backdrop of all of these believers who had been forcibly kicked out of their hometown for fear of their very lives. And in this light, we see God's grace in hardship and suffering. He would have seen faithfulness to Jesus when there would have been countless reasons for there to not, to turn to other things. He would have seen hope in people when it would have been hard to hold on to hope. And all of this was the grace of God upon the church. You know, a prayer that would serve us well to pray is Psalm 119:18. Open my eyes that I may behold the wondrous things out of your law. Open my eyes that I may behold the wondrous things that you are doing. Open my eyes to see your grace at work around me. Now, let's be people who keep our eyes open to what God is doing rather than concentrating on what it seems he isn't. It can be very easy for us to get complacent or to get complaining, to get nitpicking or to get whinging, to get cranky of God because of what he's not doing. But we see in Barnabas that he had eyes to see the grace of God. So friend, keep your eyes peeled to what God is doing, because he is up to much and he invites you and I to be part of it. Secondly, sent people are glad in God's work. Let's go to the next emoji. Look at that, the rejoicing one, the party one. The let's get loud in here kind of one. You know, I love that Luke tells us that Barnabas was glad. Just three simple words. He was glad. You know, I'm sure the church in Antioch wasn't perfect. It was, after all, made up of people. But what Luke is intentional in telling us is that Barnabas saw the grace of God among them and he was glad. He wasn't fault-finding. He wasn't nitpicking. He wasn't complaining. He was glad. The word glad comes from the word kairo, which means to be filled with delight, to rejoice. This one here. Now, gladness is a hallmark of a heart captivated by the eternal and life-giving work of God. Now, when we have eyes to see what the Lord is doing, when daily we wake up and we do, as the word tells us, to seek first the kingdom, and we look at things through the lens of what God is up to in the world, and we see his grace upon things, as our hearts are captivated by the beauty of his Spirit at work, drawing people back to him, as our hearts are captivated by the notion that he is in the background, orchestrating and moving and placing and positioning and willing people and willing things to bend to the narrative and the arc of all things being restored and redeemed in the name of Jesus. When we have eyes to see that, friends, I believe we will be glad. And I know that not every day is good. I know that full well. But in every day we can be glad. Thirdly, sent people encourage others. And this is our last emoji. The clap one. Barnabas got alongside the believers and encouraged them. He needed help. He went off to Tarsus. He went for a day and a half walk. And he went up and he found Paul, who was at that, saw Paul at that time living in Tarsus, and he brought him back to Antioch. And for a number of years, Barnabas and Paul together, they discipled the church, making disciples who made disciples. You know, they discipled them, as we see. We're not going to go there tonight, but there was a prophet came and said, there's going to be a famine back in Jerusalem. Can everyone please send some money? And they discipled the church around generosity and all of that kind of thing. They spent time encouraging the church to remain faithful to Jesus, steadfast in purpose. Now, I can just imagine those days in the meetings that they had as a church, where Barnabas and Paul are just, they're just blessing the church with the word of the Lord. Just come and say, come on, guys, just stay the course. You know, we know it's hard out here. We know that as believers, we've been dispersed out here and it wasn't safe where we were, but we're doing our best in this unfamiliar territory to love God and love others. Just stay the course. You know, I can imagine Barnabas just encouraging the church, guys, just keep loving well. I know they're taking the mickey out of us. You know, when they say that this is where they were first called Christians, the name Christian was given as a way of belittling and mocking the Jesus followers, the people of the way. And even though they were being mocked, I can just see Barnabas and Paul saying, guys, just keep loving them well. The haters are going to hate, but let's love them anyway. I can see Barnabas saying, guys, you are doing such a great job. Stay hospitable, open your homes. Gather your friends, your neighbors at your tables. Show them my love through generosity and acts of service and through hot meals. Be generous to those in need. You know, it's on us as people who are sent to get alongside and encourage each other to that very end. To say, guys, each other, to remind each other, life isn't easy, but keep loving well. We aren't as welcome as what we once were, but that's okay. Let's keep showing hospitality. Our voice isn't as recognized in culture as what it once was, but let's keep using it to bless and love. Let's keep using the gift God has given us to be hospitable and generous toward others. That sent people encourage others. And the word tells us to encourage each other. Let's not give up meeting together, but encourage each other more and more as the day of the Lord approaches. So they are three emojis, even four, to add to your favorites list in your journey of faith, to have your mind constantly blown by the grace of God, that he is singing over us, that he loves us, and we see that in Jesus. Like no other love has ever been shown in this world, and that ought to blow our minds. Let's always keep our glasses on, looking for where God is at work, what God is doing. Let's be glad at what he is doing, having our party hats and our whistles going, man, God is good. He is doing things. He is using you and he is using me, and our hearts ought to be glad in the work of God. And let's get around each other, championing, encouraging one another. Keep loving. Keep chasing after the Spirit. Keep at it. We know it's not easy, but stay the course. Keep loving well. And so before we go out for dinner, I'm wondering if you've got a testimony of where are you seeing God at work? Perhaps this is a moment for us to encourage one another. I ask, that's not a rhetorical question. Where are you seeing the grace of God at the moment? That is the question I have for you. Where are you seeing the grace of God at the moment? I want you to share. Fozza. This will lead us into dinner. We have a few testimonies. Where are you seeing the grace?
So, yeah, just an interesting sort of week this week. I had a mate, we had the baptisms, like the faith of Rocky and Saskia and others, like putting their hand up, wanting to get baptized. And so a mate of mine heard about it and just got chatting to me, and he's mechanic mate that I met when we were rowing surf boats together, like 20 years ago, 15 years ago. And he came to the Lord back then through, yeah, like really cool situations and stuff. But since, you know, he'd gone off, worked in the mines and come back, and, you know, he's like feeling the pressure of life and everything. And then anyway, he heard about it, and the Lord just said to him, it's time to get baptized. And so it was cool. Mm-hmm. It's cool. So it was a really cool experience to share with him, and we just did. It meant a lot to him, you know. I could tell what it meant, and so it was cool just to do that on the local beach and bless him, and so it was cool. Mm. And, yeah.
Mm. On your Fozza. The grace of the Lord is upon you guys too, Foz and Shell. I know there's amazing ministry going on out in the Kurnell Peninsula. The Lord has put you guys out there, and there's grace upon you for that work. So stay the course. Shirley.
Hi, everybody. We saw the grace of God so clearly yesterday. We had a very dear friend who passed, and if we'd been in Adelaide, we couldn't have gone to a funeral, which we went to yesterday. But where the grace of God came in was that we were able to share with her children how her parents met and when they met and the love and the beautiful young people they were. She was a very Christian lady, beautiful person. Her husband died from Alzheimer's about 7 years ago, and grace of God was there too, because less than a week before he died, again, we'd come over from Adelaide, and we were there for him and for Kay. So for us, the grace of God puts us in the right place at the right time for other people.
Mm. Absolutely. Thank you, Shirley. He does. He's at work when we don't see him. That's Serena. Where are you seeing the grace?
Microphones though.
No, too bad.
Cool, hi. So I think in my own life I've been slacking on prayer a bit, and God just kind of nudged me in that, and so I stepped back into reminding myself to pray, and I wrote it all down this morning, and that included the surfathon. And I think just it was the perfect timing, because I was able to go to the surfathon and all these amazing things happen where people, like someone was feeling lonely and they turned around and saw the Christian surfers tent and just came up to us and was like, I was just praying about feeling lonely and you guys were literally behind me. And then an old soul who I've been chatting with in the surf for years now, and who's always like on the edge, like, no, I'm not curious about God at all, but kind of is. He heard me laughing, which is really embarrassing, from about 50 meters away, and came down to say hi. And I was able to give him one of our new Surfers Bibles because it had the stories of like Bethany Hamilton and stuff like that in there, and he was really curious. And we're going to catch up for a surf soon. So I think just in their lives, but also in, I wrote it on the prayer list, so I have to give it to God. It had nothing to do with me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm. So good. And sometimes the grace of God is just in those gentle nudges. He didn't give you a big kick up the bum and say, get praying, you've been forgetting to pray. Just that gentle nudge and the obedience to that gentle nudge. You know, the grace of God in that is just incredible. Shaz.
Many of you know, but some don't. Kingsway Church, a long time ago, started a lot of community events, and Kingsway Care is our community care arm, which I work for. And we had our big fundraiser on Thursday night, and it's a lot to organise, and it's quite a stressful time for me, but I just had been praying that I would feel God's peace and be calm about it all, and it was a very successful night, and even my daughter admitted that I was pretty cool, so that was good. But I have the privilege of handling the finances for Kingsway Care, and 2 weeks ago we've had a few challenges in winning some grants that is much needed to be able to change the lives of the homeless people that we work with, but we weren't winning grants because we were getting money from another one of the clubs. And just 2 weeks ago, I had a call saying that Big Sister was one of our funding partners previously, just agreed to fund for the next 3 years a therapeutic program for our clients that we have. And then the next day, Brooke rang and said we didn't have to pay our lease on the property that we own anymore, which is like a huge, you know, nine apartments. We no longer need to pay the lease on that. So, yeah, I've just been seeing the grace of God through funding the work that we do. And, you know, even Thursday night we saw, I had some of our clients speak, and, yeah, it was amazing to hear their stories, and just made it all worthwhile that we're bringing hope to so many, and that's really cool to see.
It's great. So true. Back in, it was 2016, Platform 9 started at the Cars Park Hotel, the infamous Cars Park Motel, the dirtiest, seediest dive of a place in planet Earth, and we were paying $1 a year for that rent, and the Lord took it from there. And now, how many properties, Shaz, are we housing people in?
About
10 different properties. We're housing homeless people who are escaping domestic violence and other reasons for homelessness, which is, yeah, the grace of God in that's just incredible. Mind-blowing. Logan.
So a few years ago, my brother kind of stepped away from the church a little bit, back end of high school, and it's been something that Beth and I had been praying for a long time, that he'd kind of get back involved in the church. And last year, he started coming back to church with Beth and I a little bit, which was cool. And then a few months ago, he turned around and was like, hey, I'm going on a mission trip to Africa, just kind of out of nowhere, real quick. And he's like, we leave in a few weeks. I was like, so cool. And then, yeah, so he went on this mission trip, and he was able to pray with a whole bunch of people. He had never kind of prayed for anyone before. And he, yeah, got to pray for people and, you know, heal people. And, you know, there were people that were rocking up in crutches. And, you know, he got to pray with them, and then they were walking off and leaving the crutches behind. And people with stutters, and same thing, being able to pray with them. And then they were having conversations after. And it was cool, last week, seeing him at church, sharing, and it's just a real answer to prayer, having him up on stage, kind of at church, in front of people, sharing those testimonies, and then also witnessing him then pray with other people at church. It's been, yeah, a huge answer to prayer.
So good. Grace of God in the faithfulness of prayer, and the grace of God in the ability to turn a whole life around and bring him back to himself. That's grace. Nicola.
Oh, I just wanted to come and be a fly on the wall this afternoon, but the Holy Spirit was like, get up there. Sorry, I'm about to cry, but this week, I just love how God just continues to use testimonies to answer prayers for other people. And so this week just alone, I recorded my testimony nearly 5 years ago. I'm a new Christian. I still consider myself a baby Christian, 5 years old in my faith. And I recorded a testimony, nearly in 2021. I was saved in 2020, and it took me a year to build the confidence to share because the enemy is so real, and it was giving me all of this doubt that if I share that I'll be, I won't find a husband and I'll be rejected and all this stuff. And I prayed, and God gave me the strength to share this testimony many years ago. And just this week I've had all these people randomly from a video I put up a long time ago say, I watched this when I came out of a jail cell and I found God.
Wow.
And another person saying that I was driving to a bridge and I remembered, I just wanted to look up your account and because we used to be close friends and came across my testimony and she turned around and prayed. And then I was on a podcast this week talking about health and then it turned into, tell me about your testimony, you've changed so much. And then I was praying today and I've been feeling a bit weary and just, and I say, God, can you just use me as a vessel today, even when I feel weak. And then I had a call from a friend who has another podcast saying, hey, can you come on tomorrow on Sunday and share your testimony? And so I haven't shared my testimony here, and I don't know if we have time to, but I won't go into it. But there is so much power in sharing a testimony. Mm. And it's not about how bad I was, but how good God is. Mm. And that I had just such a poor moment where I had scales over my eyes and I was just so broken. And the coolest thing is that after I shared that testimony in 2021, that's how God brought my husband, Ben, who some of you might know. God brought Ben into my life because he watched my testimony and said, wow, what a beautiful woman of God, and didn't see my past and didn't see my sin. He saw redemption. And so I just want to say, if you have a testimony, to share it with others, even when you might not, you feel weak. Mm. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, don't apologize. I mean, as is evidenced tonight, we all do have a testimony. Sometimes we've just got to look for it, because we don't sometimes give credit to what God has done, even in the small and insignificant things, let alone the really big and enormous things. See, that brings gladness to our heart, you know. That gives us cause to rejoice that the Lord is at work in every single one of us. Whether we know it or not, whether he recognizes it or not, that like Barnabas, he turned up and he was so encouraged at what he saw in the grace of God. And can I encourage you, however you connect in Christian community, whether that's here in a small group, wherever you do that, look for the grace of God at work. Be glad in your heart for what he is doing and remain faithful and steadfast in purpose, because he has purposed us all. We're going to go and eat dinner together, because you didn't come here to hear me talk anymore. So I'm going to say grace. I'm going to get one of our kids. Who wants to say grace for dinner tonight? And we're going to head on out and have our potluck meal. If you didn't bring anything tonight and you feel bad for staying for dinner, please don't feel bad. There's like always heaps of foods, loaves and fishes and all the rest of it. Kids, who wants to come and say grace for our meal tonight? That's probably a silly question. Who's going to volunteer? Because who are we looking at? Who are we dobbing in? Come on, give me a... All right, I'm going to the big people then. Which big person? JJ, do you want to say grace? Nah, that's all right. Here we go. All right, you guys say grace for dinner.
Thank you for this lovely food you have cooked for us tonight. Thank you for all the food that everyone made with our hands. Amen.
Amen. Good on you, girls. Yeah, cool. Well, go and enjoy. There's plenty of food. linger in conversation, and I encourage you to continue to share the stories of what God is doing, where you are seeing His grace. What's He doing that's making you glad? Continue those stories around the meal,